Chapter 7, Great Reset of Energy. We all want to save the world, but everything has its trade-offs. Would you willingly give up your freedom of movement, your ability to drive and to travel, if they told you it was for saving the planet? If they told you again that a new crisis was so severe that you had to stay inside indefinitely? Would you be willing to allow global governments and big corporations to track and trace your every movement in the name of saving the planet? Would you let them automatically track your carbon based on your diet, your driving habits, and more? If they used a military-style crackdown in the name of an emergency, would you submit to a digital surveillance system to monitor your carbon emissions? These are questions worth asking, because this is what they want for you. I will get to the grand plan for the climate crisis in this chapter, but let's start with the current energy crisis. In California, they've used mandates to move all their energy into renewable energy, which sounds great. But what they've done in addition is shut down existing energy sources without a reliable backup. In California, there's 3 nuclear reactors. They've already shut 2 down. And the third, Diablo Canyon, is scheduled to be shut down in August 2025. However, the energy situation is so bad in California that Governor Newsom is currently investigating keeping Diablo Canyon beyond the scheduled closure date. They shut down their coal power plants. They shut down their natural gas power plants. But guess what? The renewables aren't close to ready yet. So guess what happened? Shortages. The result was energy blackouts. That's why California doesn't have reliable energy at a time when lockdowns were shutting down energy consumption. This is from the Sacramento Bee in May 2022, the main paper in California's state capital. 2 years after the last wave of rolling blackouts, California officials said Friday, the state could face potential shortfalls in electricity this summer as drought, extreme heat, and wildfires pose threats to the fragile power grid. Leaders of the Public Utilities Commission, the state's independent system operator, and the California Energy Commission said that state could face a shortage of as much as 1,700 megawatts, the equivalent of one major power plant, on the hottest days. In the summer of 2020, the COVID lockdowns had malls, movie theaters, and most businesses closed. Energy consumption was down, yet California still couldn't keep the lights on. Why? Even the liberal Los Angeles Times was twisting itself into pretzels of loony logic trying to explain the problems of 2020. Careful planning to ensure adequate power supplies will become even more important as California phases out fossil fuels and moves towards 60% renewable energy by 2030 and 100% climate-friendly energy by 2045 as required by state law. Officials have consistently said that intermittent power sources such as solar panels and wind turbines didn't cause the rolling blackouts, but gas-burning power plants that can fire up when the sun isn't shining or the wind isn't blowing have been shutting down in recent years, and California has largely failed to replace them with cleaner alternatives such as lithium-ion batteries. Let's try to follow their logic. Solar panels and wind turbines didn't cause the rolling blackouts of the summer 2020 in California. However, if there had been more gas-burning power plants, there wouldn't have been any blackouts. I guess each one of these statements is true, but they're not linked together in any rational fashion. Why didn't the Los Angeles Times say something like this? The shutting down of gas-burning power plants was done before we had enough capacity with solar panels or wind turbines to cover the state's energy needs. That sounds like it would qualify as objective journalism. We know the reason it wasn't reported like that. It would make the Democratic public officials of California look dumb. They couldn't do that. Only Republican public officials can be made fun of in the media. And we are starting to see the exact same thing happening in the rest of the world. Now, if you haven't seen the headlines of energy outages from Asia to South America to all across Europe, then I don't know what you've been paying attention to. This mad rush to reset energy policies by engaging in some of the same reckless actions followed by the politicians in California is a cancer infecting the rest of the world. When the former Prime Minister of Britain, Boris Johnson, came to the United States in September 2021 to address the United Nations, this is how the Washington Post described his speech. He compared humanity to a troublemaking teen. We have come to that fateful age when we roughly know how to drive and we know how to unlock the drinks cabinet and to engage in all sorts of activity that is not only potentially embarrassing but also terminal. He scolded everyone for their treatment of the Earth. This precious blue sphere with its eggshell crust and wisp of atmosphere is not some indestructible toy, some bouncy plastic romper room against which we can hurl ourselves to our heart's content. And he declared, it is time for humanity to grow up. Very poetic, I'll admit, but pretty words don't make for a good plan. That seems to be the problem with the Democrats of California. Lots of poetry, but no rational plans. The Washington Post continued with coverage of Johnson's speech before the United Nations. If radical action isn't taken, he said in his address, broadcast in Britain in the early hours on Thursday morning, we will see desertification, drought, crop failure, and mass movement of humanity on a scale not seen before, not because of some unforeseen natural event or disaster, but because of us, because of what we are doing now. And our grandchildren will know we are the culprits, he said. He singled out the United States and Denmark for their pledged contributions to a $100 billion a year climate fund aimed at helping poorer countries cut carbon emissions, and mitigate the effects of climate change. He also praised China for its pledge and international financing of coal-fired energy plants, and he applauded Pakistan for promising to plant 10 billion trees. Let's go through Johnson's pitch. You have the warnings of terrible danger to put people into a state of fear. He demands radical action, not thoughtful action, not something well-conceived and well-executed. And is it me, or does it seem like most of these world leaders are doing everything they can to make sure they say something nice about the communist government of China, which does not allow free speech or freedom of religion? And whenever I see it, $100 billion a year is going to poorer countries, I always ask myself, how much of that money is ending up in the pockets of the leaders of those countries? Is that something unreasonable to ask? I don't think so. This is the plan for the Great Reset of energy. Let me be clear. I'm not breaking down the science of climate change. I'm not talking about carbon emissions. I'm not talking about whether it's good or bad. I'm not talking about any of that. All we're doing here is pointing out the policies that are driving this, what will come of it, and how it ties into the Great Reset. Johnson said the United Kingdom is going to be leading by example. Ironically, they're the ones having the hardest time with it. They're the ones in an energy crisis with no safe launch pad into renewable energy. Just like California, the only place Boris Johnson is leading the United Kingdom is into a massive energy crisis, and it's already bad now. For example, Reuters reports wholesale gas prices in the United Kingdom are up over 300%. And CNN reports household energy costs in Britain will go up by more than £800, about $1,000 in American dollars, for an increase of 40%. This was on top of an earlier increase for energy in April 2021 of 54%. As CNN reported, this news will be utterly devastating for the 6.1 million homes currently in fuel poverty, and for the additional 1.7 million households who will spend this winter struggling to keep themselves warm. Simon Francis, coordinator for the End Fuel Poverty Coalition, a campaign group, told CNN Business, "Unless the government acts now, it will have blood on its hands this winter," he added. The poor, whom the globalists claim to care about, are the ones most hurt by these policies. Because when you can't afford your energy, it wipes out the middle class and can cause massive deaths globally. Furthermore, in the United Kingdom, there's a massive lack of fertilizer. As a result of the gas shortages, they cannot produce the fertilizer. This is how the problem was framed in November 2021 by the BBC, even before the Russian invasion of Ukraine further complicated the matter. Sven Tore Holsether, chief executive of Yara International, said, "Higher gas prices were pushing up fertilizer costs and affecting food prices worldwide. Fertilizer requires large amounts of gas in its production." Mr. Holsether said Yara had been forced to cut some production due to higher gas prices, which had led to shortages. The chief executive said developing countries would be hit hardest by the shortages, with crop yields declining and food prices rising. "It's really scary. We are facing a food crisis and vulnerable people are being hit very hard," he told the BBC's Today program. As you can see, I am not exaggerating when I say that these policies are dangerous and anti-human. The alarming thing is that these things can be happening while Boris Johnson says they are leading by example for the rest of the world. This is not even about debating renewables. This is just about reckless policy that's happening on a massive scale in our country with Joe Biden's Build Back Better plan. It should be obvious that when you shut down the supply of energy, but the demand's still there, it would cause serious problems. Because, of course, we still need air conditioners, and we need heaters in the winter, and we have to keep our food cold. We have to drive our cars. If the demand stays, but we shut the supply down, what do you think happens? Oh, yeah, it pushes the prices up, right? They are phasing out fossil fuels, and in some cases, even nuclear power. But they do not have the electrical grid infrastructure or the reliability of green energy to power the world. What could be more reckless than to phase out energy that billions of people depend on for survival without an alternative that can 100% take its place immediately? At this point, this should not surprise you. This is not idiocy. It's malfeasance. The plan is simple. Destroy the fossil fuel industry, send prices soaring, manufacture an energy crisis, blame fossil fuels, and shut down reliable global energy without a viable immediate alternative. This is what the Great Reset is all about. If you want a global corporate government that rules over humanity, you have to destroy everything first. This is a classic problem-reaction-solution. First, you manufacture a problem by destroying American energy. You send gas prices soaring, heating bills skyrocket, food prices explode. Because, of course, oil and gas are needed for the entire food supply chain. The cost of living gets out of control for the masses. It wipes out the middle class. Then they offer the solution, green energy. The only problem, as we discussed regarding California, is that it is not capable at this time to power the world. The result is an even worse energy crisis, because now you've stifled domestic energy production. Prices are skyrocketing. You're releasing emergency oil from federal reserves. It's not helping. People can't afford electricity or gas. The middle class is being wiped out. And instead of increasing domestic supply, you wag your finger at fossil fuels and clamor about transitioning to clean energy. But it's not ready. It's as if you devise a plan to jump off your roof and land safely onto thousands of pillows, except the pillows haven't arrived from the store yet. You've been cheering about transitioning from the roof to the ground for so long that you jump anyway. The transition turns into a transfer to the emergency room, and the doctor wonders why you're stupid enough to jump off a roof if you knew the pillows weren't there. This is exactly what we're doing. The idiocy is so glaring that the only way it makes sense is if you understand a larger plan for the Great Reset. Why else would you be dangerously jumping off roofs without a fail plan? It should come as no surprise that you're not allowed to ask that question. In fact, It seems like Elon Musk is the only celebrity willing to discuss the obvious. On March 4th, 2022, Musk tweeted, "Hate to say it, but we need to increase oil and gas output immediately. Extraordinary times demand extraordinary measures. Obviously, this would negatively affect Tesla, but sustainable energy solutions simply cannot react instantaneously." Mark Mills is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a faculty fellow at Northwestern University's McCormick School of Engineering and Applied Science, where he co-directs an institute on manufacturing science and innovation. Earlier, Mills was a technology advisor for Bank of America Securities and co-author of the Huber Mills Digital Power Report, a tech investment newsletter. In 2019, Mills published a 24-page report titled "The New Energy Economy, an Exercise in Magical Thinking," from the report by Mills. So how many batteries would be needed to store, say, not 2 months, but 2 days' worth of the nation's electricity? The $5 billion Tesla Gigafactory in Nevada is currently the world's biggest battery manufacturing facility. Its total annual production could store 3 minutes' worth of annual U.S. electricity demand. Thus, in order to fabricate a quantity of batteries to store 2 days' worth of U.S. electricity demand would require 1,000 years of gigafactory production. Then there are the hydrocarbons and electricity needed to undertake all the mining activities and to fabricate the batteries themselves. In rough terms, it requires the energy equivalent of about 100 barrels of oil to fabricate a quantity of batteries that can store a single barrel of oil equivalent energy. This is alarming for many reasons. First, it shows how far away we actually are from reliably powering the world on green energy. Second, it hits on a key point that nobody discusses. It is dangerously expensive to transition our energy sources in the full force manner that global elites are attempting. As Mills points out in the executive summary of his report, it just costs more, a lot more, 6 times more. Scientists have yet to discover and entrepreneurs have yet to invent anything as remarkable as hydrocarbons in terms of the combination of the low-cost, high-energy, density, stability, safety, and portability. In practical terms, this means that spending $1 million on utility-scale wind turbines or solar panels will each, over 30 years of operation, produce about 50 million kilowatt-hours, kWh, while an equivalent $1 million spent on a shale rig produces enough natural gas over 30 years to generate over 300 million kWh. How are they going to actually implement all this? Well, of course, they're going to print the money out of thin air. We already saw what has happened since COVID-19 lockdowns. Global governments printed astronomical amounts of fiat currency, and we are now experiencing dangerous levels of inflation with no end in sight. More on this later. But now, they want to totally eliminate our only source of reliable energy without their clean energy being ready. So what exactly will they do to complete their transition? They will simply print trillions and trillions of dollars. The money will go to all their cronies. Backdoor deals, stock options, lining the pockets of everybody in the know. Trillions of new currency units will be chasing even fewer products and services since we already have supply chain disasters. Historic inflation levels will go much higher. The politicians will virtue signal about saving the world, and you'll be eating crushed up bugs from a drone delivered directly to your house that's owned by BlackRock. Oh, and you'll be having rolling blackouts because the power grid cannot sustain us this way. Anything to save the world, right? These rallying cries for climate emergency and energy crises are the perfect way to continue consolidating power. While it may seem like a sci-fi fantasy, soon the United States federal government could force automakers to install kill switches authorities can access and use to shut down any newer vehicle. On January 5th, 2022, Steve Symes of Yahoo News wrote an article titled, "New Law Will Install Kill Switches in All New Cars." Yes, that is real, and it's directly from the Biden administration's infrastructure bill. Here's what Symes wrote. According to an article written by former U.S. Representative Bob Barr, hidden away in the recently passed infrastructure bill, the very one I've warned before would negatively impact drivers across the country, if it were to pass, is a measure to install vehicle kill switches into every new car, truck, and SUV sold in this country. The regulation likely won't be enforced for 5 years, so maybe there's time to do something about this. But wait, there's more. The kill switch safety system would be open, or in other words, there would be a back door. That would allow police or other government authorities to access it whenever. Would they need a warrant to do that? Likely not. Even better, hackers could access the back door and shut down your vehicle. It would seem that not only do the globalists want to mess up the world's energy supply, but if you happen to be in your vehicle, they'd also like to exercise control over you. And there's more. That very same infrastructure bill includes a pilot program to track your vehicle miles. Tucked away on page 508 of the U.S. Senate's 2,700-page so-called infrastructure bill are the plans for a national per-mile fee pilot program. And it's exactly what it sounds like. The more you drive, the more you pay. Of course, this will ultimately make travel too costly for those who are not global elites. But even more concerning than the fees are the security and privacy concerns. Possible recording methods listed in the bill include third-party onboard diagnostic OBD2 devices, smartphone applications, telemetric data collected by automakers, motor vehicle data obtained by car insurance companies, data from the states that received a grant under Section 6020 of the FAST Act, motor vehicle data obtained from fueling stations, any other method that the secretary considers appropriate. Ultimately, I believe that the microchips and digital software in your car will sync to your personal identity just like your iPhone syncs to your iCloud. Your car will become a surveillance device to monitor, track, trace, and penalize you. And in a digital world, it will be automatically synced with your digital currency, financial accounts, and social credit score. Perhaps this is another reason why they want us all to use electric cars. By the way, how are you feeling digesting all this information? I know it's a lot to absorb and can feel a bit overwhelming. So let's have a little laugh while on the subject of the climate change emergency. Now, if you still don't believe that the global elite are deranged lunatics who will trample your basic human rights in the name of saving the planet, get a load of this headline from the Huffington Post: "Could a small nuclear war reverse global warming?" Nuclear war is a bad thing, right? Scientists from NASA and a number of other institutions have recently been modeling the effects of a war involving 100 Hiroshima-level bombs, or 0.03% of the world's current nuclear arsenal, according to National Geographic. The result, according to NASA climate models, could actually be global cooling. Ah, yes, just nuke the world, kill millions of people, and we will have far fewer carbon footprints. What a genius idea by such an acclaimed media outlet. Why didn't we think of this idea earlier? Why isn't every politician just campaigning for global nuclear war as the best way to save the planet and reverse climate change? In the 1980s, during the height of the campaign against nuclear weapons, there was a popular bumper sticker that read, "A nuclear bomb could ruin your whole day." Apparently, that may not be the case for the globalists. Whether it's a climate crisis or a financial crisis, these are opportunities for a consolidation of power. As I've explained, the overall goal is simple. Collapse the first world through massive inflation, energy crises, and food shortages. As the first world collapses, so does the third world. Then they will send hundreds of millions of climate refugees into the collapsing first world. This will totally collapse global civilization. it will be blamed on an unfair economic system, one they prospered from, and climate change. This is when they can fully institute the Great Reset and begin to completely build back better. For over two decades, I've been speaking to this exact plan. They will destroy reliable energy, blame it on a variety of events from Putin to inflation to greedy energy producers. The cost of living will get out of control. They will use this as a cover for an energy transition in which they will print tens of trillions of dollars to build a greener economy. Inflation will get even worse, and we do not have the mining and exploration capabilities to cheaply convert the world to their green energy system, so commodity prices will continue to skyrocket. Food shortages, out-of-control energy prices, a collapse of the third world. This will be the cover for climate refugees because, of course, they will never take any blame. They will simply point the finger at climate change, displacing hundreds of millions of people, moving them into further extreme poverty, and shutting off the global resources. Biden's climate czar, John Kerry, who flies around on private jets while lecturing us on using less energy, has painted the picture before. He said, "Wait until you see 100 million people for whom the entire food production capacity has collapsed." And with energy prices rising at uncontrollable levels and food prices skyrocketing, this is only the beginning. But the global elites do not seem interested in getting energy prices under control. In fact, it seems to be the opposite. But don't take my word for it. For example, the president of the European Union Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, summed it up quite nicely in her speech at the World Economic Forum's Davos event. On January 20th, 2022, she tweeted a clip of a recent speech for the billionaire crowd at Davos. In incredible irony, the background of her speech carried corporate logos for Davos Agenda and World Economic Forum. She tweeted out part of her speech and said, "Today's gas crisis must serve to accelerate the transition to clean energy. For this, we also need trust. People need to trust that the transition will be fair. Businesses, that it will improve their competitiveness, and investors, that we will stay the course. Hashtag Davos Agenda." But don't worry, she says we need to trust that the transition will be fair. Surely, if you're ever going to trust someone to reset the global energy systems of the world, it's going to be the billionaire crowd, right? The Great Reset on energy is just another way for the Davos crowd to steal your power. In an address in November 2021 to world leaders at the COP26 Climate Summit in Glasgow, Scotland, Prince Charles set the tone for other world leaders regarding the climate. As you read it, see if you can play a little game and catch all the globalist buzzwords. Here's what CNBC reported about his comments. Prince Charles, addressing delegates at the summit, says the COVID-19 pandemic has demonstrated just how devastating a global cross-border threat can be. Climate change and biodiversity loss are no different. In fact, they pose an even greater existential threat to the extent we have to put ourselves on what might be called a warlike footing, he says. He calls for a radical transformation of our fossil fuel-based economy to one that is genuinely renewable and sustainable. He sure sounds a lot like the rest of the gang. There's a lot of buzzwords in there. Existential threat, warlike footing, radical transformation. They need you to believe there is an existential threat and we need to do something. It's a crisis! They must seize this crisis and make it go to good use. They will do this with warlike footing. But remember, folks, when the health organizations declare an emergency of public health and attempt to use the fear of death to take away your freedoms again, it's for saving the world. If you haven't noticed yet, the global elite's plan is always to declare something an emergency, an existential threat, something that could kill you. This fear they inject into the population is how they attempt to morally justify using warlike footing to take away your freedoms and continue on the path of the Great Reset. And what did President Joe Biden say at this meeting? Here's what CNBC reported. U.S. President Joe Biden warned in his COP26 speech on Monday that, in an age where this pandemic has made so painfully clear that no nation can wall itself off from borderless threats, we know that none of us can escape the worst that's yet to come if we fail to seize this moment. Biden added that, within the growing catastrophe, I believe there's an incredible opportunity, not just for the United States, but for all of us. So what do you think they have planned? It's not something we're going to enjoy. I can tell you that much. This is why it's so important we continue to learn their plans and wake up the masses. Thankfully, there's been a lot of great coverage on climate change lockdowns and the power grab that will ensue from elites declaring the climate crisis as a health emergency. One of the people providing that coverage is Tucker Carlson. Tucker has admirably covered the prospects of climate lockdowns. Here is the transcript of a great dialogue Carlson had on his show from June 22, 2021. Tucker Carlson. So we're learning more now about the sad toll of the corona lockdowns in this country. According to Biden, though, we could get another round of lockdowns. These, for a crisis that's every bit as bad as the coronavirus, may be worse. That crisis, of course, says Joe Biden, is climate change. President Joe Biden, video clip speech transcript of Biden. Today, I'm pleased to announce the team that will lead my administration's ambitious plan to address the existential threat of our time, climate change. Folks, we're in a crisis. Just like we need to be a unified nation in response to COVID-19, we need a unified national response to climate change. And from this crisis, from these crises, I should say, we need to seize an opportunity to build back and build back better than we were before. I will criticize most of the mainstream media, but Tucker Carlson stands head and shoulders above most of the commentators. Notice how people like President Biden try to ingratiate themselves to you by being non-threatening. Folks, we're in a crisis. It sounds just like your favorite uncle. Tucker Carlson, a unified national response? It's involuntary. That's the one thing we know. What does it mean? Well, we're learning that a World Health Organization staffer has written a report saying that a climate lockdown could be called for, just like a COVID lockdown, a climate lockdown. Mark Morano is an author who has written a lot about climate change. He founded Climate Depot. He joins us tonight. Mark, thanks so much for coming on. A climate lockdown. Now, I would laugh this off the table, except we all just lived through the last 18 months, so we know that anything is possible. What does this mean exactly? Mark Morano. Well, in my book, Green Fraud, I detail two chapters on this, Tucker. The climate activists were, first of all, jealous when the COVID lockdowns happened. They were beside themselves saying, how is this happening? Everyone from Greta Thunberg to John Kerry, UN officials, and then they started saying, we need to follow this. If we can shut down for a virus, we can shut down for climate. And that's what we're seeing. There are even academics in Australia proposing adding climate change to death certificates, and Bill Gates has said the death toll will be greater. So they're following every step of the way, and it's not just a professor here or someone in academia. We have a major UK report coming out. We have an international agency report that came out calling for essentially the same type of lockdowns. Everything from restrictions on your thermostat to restrictions of moving. You can only fly in a climate emergency when it's, quote, morally justifiable. Kind of like a lockdown, you have to justify going to the store for essential services. They're going after freedom of movement. They're going after private car ownership. They're going after everything it means to be a free person and turning it over to the administrative state. There's a great deal in that exchange of which people need to take notice. These globalists always seem to get on the same page. Seriously, have you ever seen these globalists get into a fight with each other, as conservatives often do? Tucker continued. Tucker Carlson. Would this include shutting down the iPhone factories in China? Would China and India participate in this climate lockdown, or is it kind of you first, America? Mark Morano, well, as we know, the COVID lockdowns had never been proposed. We felt like lemmings following the Chinese Communist Party in terms of them recommending lockdowns. The World Health Organization went after it. The World Health Organization employees are now recommending these climate lockdowns. The one country that won't be affected is China, as you say. As we're sitting home binge-watching Netflix, we're not going to be able to have the freedoms we used to have. In the UK, they proposed CO2 ration cards that the government or employers would monitor your CO2 levels, your energy use, your travel, the type of car you drive. If you exceed a level, you pay penalties. If you're under, you get credits. This is the world. A CO2 budget for every man, woman, and child on the planet has been proposed by a German climate advisor. This is what we're looking at. I talked to a German who talked about East Germany. They used to have these kinds of restrictions in East Germany before you could leave the country. But we're talking about proposing these now on Americans within the country. And we had this, of course, with COVID. They were talking about bans on interstate travel at one point, a national ban, some of Biden's advisors, so anything is possible. Chuck Schumer is urging Biden to declare a national climate emergency. Just like a blue state governor, he could have emergency powers.
It would be difficult to find a more succinct conversation on the subject. Tucker plays the dreary clip of Joe Biden speaking a lot like the rest of the global elites. He uses words, just like Prince Charles, the existential threat of our time, climate change. Folks, we're in a crisis. Just like we need to be a unified nation in response to COVID-19, we need a unified national response to climate change. And from these crises, we need to seize an opportunity to build back and build back better than we were before. But there's something even more interesting. If you compare Prince Charles's quotes with Joe Biden's, they are eerily similar. Now here goes the conspiracy theorist in me. Does it seem far-fetched to suggest the same group wrote those speeches for the two men? By now, it should be clear that when Biden says it's a crisis and we need to seize the opportunity, he's referring to Obama's former chief of staff Rahm Emanuel's philosophy, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before. In my opinion, Biden's Build Back Better is simply the global elite sanctioned political slogan for the Great Reset. But it's not just me. Tucker Carlson, Prince Charles, and Joe Biden saying that it's coming. On September 12, 2021, the New York Post published an article titled, Get Ready for Climate Change Lockdowns. A recent Nature Journal piece notes, COVID-19 lockdowns have prepared people for personal carbon allowances. Restrictions on your individual freedoms that were unthinkable only 1 year before have us more prepared to accept the tracking and limitations to achieve a safer climate. And there's those pesky little words again, personal carbon allowances and tracking and limitations. But it doesn't stop there. The Guardian wrote a piece with the following title and subtitle, Equivalent of COVID Emissions Drop Needed Every 2 Years. Study Equivalent Falls in Emissions Over a Decade Required to Keep to Safe Limits of Global Heating, experts say. Here's the opening of that piece. Carbon dioxide emissions must fall by the equivalent of a global lockdown roughly every 2 years for the next decade for the world to keep within safe limits of global heating, research has shown. Lockdowns around the world led to an unprecedented fall in emissions of about 7% in 2020, or about 2.6 billion tons of CO2. But reductions of between 1 billion and 2 billion tons are needed every year of the next decade to have a good chance of holding temperature rises to within 1.5 degrees centigrade or 2 degrees centigrade of pre-industrial levels, as required by the Paris Agreement. How about some programming with your news? Don't you like how they say carbon dioxide emissions must fall? The globalists want you to agree with them. A similar theme was echoed in a Forbes article from March 2021 titled, "Report: World Needs Equivalent to Pandemic Lockdown Every 2 Years to Meet Paris Carbon Emission Goals." Now is this starting to seem like it actually is a secret agenda by a group, global elites, to do something harmful. And it's worth noting, these are the exact messaging points of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. This is taken from one of their publications from January 2022, titled, "The Great Acceleration: What We Need to Do to Tackle Climate Change." Governments, too, can promote the acceleration of climate action. They can join the nations championing a global price on CO2, which would spark investment in climate-friendly technologies. And carbon pricing, implemented globally, would eliminate concerns that climate action costs too much or has a negative impact on competitiveness. It would level the playing field and allow the private sector to focus on the real issue, accelerating the transition to sustainable value chains. Another action governments can take to tackle climate change is to invest in large-scale green infrastructure and to encourage private investors to do the same. Green infrastructure is an investment in the future and wise use of pandemic recovery funds. One thing should be clear. They are carefully planting the psychological seeds to prepare you for massive government overreach and an invasion of your human rights in the name of saving the planet. We know where this leads. Carbon tracking and tracing of your movements, just like COVID-19. But of course, this will all be for your health and safety. How does the big plan all get put together? Why, by tying together your vaccine passport with your carbon footprint. What an excellent way to manage the population. This is from Vox in March 2021, helpfully explaining the dual use of this technology. While the Commons Project is attracting a growing number of partners, it isn't the only vaccine passport maker out there. Beyond its work on New York's Excelsior Pass, which was tested at Madison Square Garden and the Barclays Center, IBM is working with Germany to produce digital versions of its paper vaccine certificates. The International Air Transport Association, IATA, is also developing its own travel pass for airlines, which is now being tested by Virgin Atlantic, Emirates, and other carriers. Carbon Health plans to expand the functionality of its health pass to work with Apple Wallet and Google Pay. Even MasterCard has joined the fray. It's working with the International Chamber of Commerce on a protocol for a global, interoperable health pass system. Once they get your approval to be tracked for COVID-19, it's not that big of a jump to get you to agree to track your carbon footprint. However, one shouldn't think these plans are inevitable, as when Michael Evans, president of Alibaba Group USA, spoke about just such a device on May 24, 2022, at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. It's another high-tech method for tracking human behavior, and China is already widely known to be violating the human rights of its citizens with a social credit system of tracking. So the fact that the technology is coming from the Alibaba Group is raising alarms. In the video posted to Twitter, Evans told the audience, "We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their whole carbon footprint." "What does that mean?" he asked. "Where they are traveling, how they are traveling, what are they eating, what they are consuming on the platform." So individual carbon footprint tracker, as a surprised reaction, can be heard in the video coming from the audience. It can be overwhelming to fully understand the plan of the globalists, but they count on you not being informed or being so enamored of their promises that you won't question some of the more troubling aspects. But the truth is, their plans are fragile. All we need to do is speak out, stand up, say no to them, and they will have to flee from us and civilized society.